State Farm agents are one of a kind. They understand insurance and share a genuine concern for others. State Farm agent Susan Casper works very hard every day to help people find the right products for their insurance and financial needs. From homeowners and renters to retirement planning, please call Susan Casper today to talk about which products are best for you. Get to a better state. State Farm.
Rich is just a really, really, really good guy. The term good egg isn't enough to describe him. He's also certified organic and free range. Rich puts the cap back on everything. The toothpaste, the olive oil, the shampoo, everything. He lets his 10-year-old nephew beat him at virtual tennis, even though he can straight up slay his 10-year-old nephew in virtual tennis. When the toilet paper is running low, Rich replaces the roll on the actual holder, not just on the back of the toilet. Rich is texting and driving. Rich? No. What are you doing, Rich? I was just telling everyone how great you are. Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When you need to know.
Some of those things like the animals and stuff, we can't. There's a lot of kids that have year-round animals. Maybe we could do something, be more of a regional area type for 4-H. I don't know. That's one of the things that we're asking right now as groups and trying to plan out.
On the air first when seconds count.
Don't have very much experience with e-learning. We just haven't been an e-learning district. But we now have learned that e-learning is more for 1 or 2 days and not meant to be for the long haul.
The news team you've come to depend on.
We want to go ahead and start making plans for getting things open back up and what that's going to look like. But I think that's wishful thinking at this point. We asked everybody to stay vigilant through the 20th, which is next Monday. So I'm hoping, praying that by next Monday we can start relaxing things. But I think it's wishful thinking at this point.
Your official weather station when you need to know. WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We've got a full studio here for one of the few times in a long, long time. I can't remember the last time we had a full studio in here, but it's kind of fun to have one in here. We've got Colton Crum and his dad, Gary Crum. Gentlemen, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good morning. Thank you for having us back on.
It's fun to have you guys back on. So, we're not doing a whole heck of a lot as far as athletics right now, so we had to keep everybody afloat of what's going on. So, Colton, what's going on with the career right now?
Yeah, so, it's funny. Not a lot has changed. I mean, obviously, it's the summertime, but I'm still training full-time. I'm still in summer school, and I'm taking a full semester of credits. So there's plenty to be done, and I'm working pretty hard trying to get everything tied up academically, but as well as, obviously, athletically.
So how many hours are you taking?
I'm taking 19 and a half right now.
The first question is why.
So I think I alluded to last time, we'd had some conversations about eligibility and the coronavirus and red shirt seasons and whatnot. And what's going to come out of this is actually I'm going to graduate in 3 years. So I will walk in next May in 3 years with a business degree. And a minor in computer science, and then if all works out, I'm going to enroll right into Notre Dame Law, and I'll be competing the whole time. So hopefully that will allow me to obviously jump, but then also get 2 degrees in 6 years.
What's the stigma with law?
There is no stigma with law. It's something I've thought about. always it's an opportunity in business, whether in politics and whatnot. It's just going to open me up in the future. And, you know, a master's program, you know, at Notre Dame, most of them are 2 years, and I'm not really interested in anything else. So this will take up 3 years. It'll allow me to get 3 years of undergraduate, 3 years of a graduate degree. And then after that, I can, you know, when I come out of Notre Dame, I'll be able to do pretty much anything.
When you first got the word that there's going to be no more season because of the coronavirus, what was your first thoughts?
You know, I was disappointed. You know, I coming off of the indoor meet, I jumped 17.4, which is the first time I jumped 17 in indoor season at all. You know, in high school, my indoor seasons were always very poor and undertrained, and we were always figuring things out. And it wasn't until, you know, the state meet really in June that we were working hard for that things actually came about, and we were jumping heights that we had talked about and we had seen earlier. So when I jumped 17.4 and it was February, I was finally felt like I was getting my bearings. Finally, we were making a lot of changes, and I felt like Notre Dame just saw what I was capable of. And so I was really excited to go into outdoor season because I always jump higher outside, you know, on the road. I'm with the wind. That is always where I'm most comfortable. So I was disappointed, but, you know, then again, I went right in back to work. You know, that was what we had to do. There really wasn't any other option. You could either use this time to get better, to be a better technician, to work on your diet, to really do the things that really needed worked on, or we could sit back and kind of complain and not do anything about it.
Now, when you jumped over 17, that was at the ACC, right?
Yes.
Indoor. So that's a nice way to kind of end the season, so to say.
Right,
you know, we didn't want to do it.
Right, and that was at Notre Dame, too. And I was really we were pushing for the win, and we were one attempt away from winning. We lost to a senior from Virginia, which is okay. But obviously, an ACC, you know, medal is something I really, really want in the future, and obviously a record holder would be awesome, too. Yeah.
Gary, when you first heard the fact the coronavirus is out there and they're getting your kids are out and about, what was your first thoughts?
Well, for us it was a little scary, obviously unknown, but it was an opportunity for us to kind of retool. When Colton said, "Hey, I'm coming back home," or "You're canceling," it was very interesting. We just kind of pulled everything in, and we got the dry erase board out, and he started going to work on scheduling classes and what was possible. And this has opened up another opportunity. And I was a little disappointed, but I was also encouraged because nothing stopped. He actually ramped it up more. We pulled it in. He said, "Dad, I think I can make this happen in 3 years." And there was hours and hours that he worked diligently with his counselor and his schedule. And I said, "Honey," I said, "you're going to have to sleep sometime, okay? you're going to have to sleep. But Dad, I think this is a great opportunity." Yeah. And Notre Dame being such a wonderful institution, you know, when some of these, as we talked about, football pays most of the bills.
Right.
And what was so interesting about Notre Dame is one of the reasons why we selected is that financially they are a very sound institution. So when this all came about, his head coach called him and wanted him to know that everything's going to be just fine. They're going to be able to honor his scholarships, and they sent him a nice little note and a pair of shoes that said, "Keep being great." And it was just really encouraging that we'd made a selection where the institution was behind you 100% and that they were communicating and saying, you know, it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And where there was so much uncertainty with other institutions and still today.
Yeah, that's true. So how long have you been back now? When did you come back? March or before then?
Yeah, it was right before. I can't give you a direct date, but it was in March, and it was spring break, basically. So we went back for spring break for a week, and then they're like, "Hey, you're going to get another week of spring break," which was great. And then there was a little two-week period where we didn't know what was going on. And then it was like, "Okay, we're staying back here. If you need anything, we can mail it to you. Tell us exactly what you need, and you're going to stay home for a while." I actually just moved out of Notre Dame, you know, earlier, maybe 2 weeks ago. So I got all my stuff back home finally.
So, but when you said you had spring break, you didn't go to Florida. Yeah. You didn't even go to Texas or any place like that.
No, you stayed.
You stayed in the state.
Well, I think, you know, it was funny because that, you know, senior year too, that's what, you know, in high school, kids go to Florida or, you know, go somewhere. And, and I remember it was more of a, you know, hey, I remember talking with head coach Salee at the time and about things. And he's like, you know, Colton, you can train really anywhere. And I'm like, yeah, but I think I'd rather just stay home and make sure that the season goes really well. So it makes me feel better when I know my competitors are taking a break, when I know that they're sleeping or they're doing something else. You know, that's where I really get a lot of satisfaction out of training, is when, you know, I'm still working, things are still going on, and we're still moving, even if the world is not.
You know, and I take it you're training every day, and, of course, you're getting your school work done every day. Mm-hmm. That sounds so weird in the summertime.
It does.
So how are you working this all in?
Yeah, so it's funny. I'm actually interning at the courthouse as well, at the prosecutor's office. So I spend a little bit of time there talking with everyone and seeing everyone. So, you know, typically I break down my calendar on a Saturday or a Sunday. I'll go through the entire week. And I have a schedule of everything I need to do athletically. You know, I'm going to jump twice a week. Okay, I'm going to maybe lift or maybe do a gymnastics day or maybe do this type of training. Everything's written out. So I don't really have a, you know, when I go into a practice, I know exactly what I'm going to do. And there's really no room for me to say, I don't really feel like going in or doing this today. I hold myself accountable because without that, the workouts are so hard, it's pretty easy to cut corners. So I have all my workouts laid out typically from, you know, 3 to 5 p.m. in the afternoon. I'll go to the courthouse sometime maybe before that, and then in the mornings I'm up early studying. And so I'm now preparing for law school. It's added a whole different animal academically. You know, where I was mostly learning programming languages and being familiar with writing code in different languages, things like that. Now I'm more of a student in a sense, where I'm going through workbooks, I'm taking practice exams, preparing for the LSAT. I'm doing things that I didn't, you know, necessarily think about before, but it's you know, it's good. It's funny because, you know, pole vaulting is just one part of my life, and when pole vaulting, you know, I'll do it for a couple more years, and hopefully we'll, you know, we're going to jump a lot higher. But in the same sense, that same energy is just going to be there. You know, I see that in my father. I see that with other family members, especially my family. You know, pole vaulting is a direction. You know, law school is a direction. When that comes about in the future, when I have a career change, it's going to be that same amount of work ethic, same amount of energy, just towards a career. And so that's what we're seeing now, is now my time's divvied up. It's, you know, a third here, and maybe a third for sleeping. But it'll be okay. You know, this is the time to do it. You know, I'm 20 years old, and, you know, sitting back and taking an extra, you know, week to hang out in spring break and go to Florida just isn't something that really interests me at this point.
I didn't think it would be, knowing you as I do. I didn't think, you know, maybe Gary in his younger days might have been wanting to go to Florida back then, but I would say not now. How is it working with the prosecutor's office?
Yeah, so it's really cool. I've obviously been sitting in on some, you know, the cases and things that are going on publicly that I can be in on. You know, I'm learning a lot, and I'm seeing law be applied in different varieties. I'm seeing a lot of things going on in Frankfurt I didn't really know about. Both good and bad. So it's really cool because, you know, obviously in high school, going to state, doing the jumping, it was more about Frankfurt than anything. And that's what really, you know, made me feel good, is that hey, I've got this community that has been so nice to welcome me and to support me so much. You know, I'm going against schools that, you know, like Carmel, they've got a Starbucks, right, in their high school. And so, mm-hmm. you know, that's something that really made me feel good, is that, you know, hey, we can take this on, and we can take on this machine, and we could do something about it. And, you know, the pole vaulting, you know, is small, but it's big enough that we can make maybe an impact. And I still feel that way. Even that I'm at Notre Dame, there was a reason why we stayed in the state of Indiana, and we didn't go to California, we didn't go to New York, you know, even though there's wonderful schools in both those states. We wanted to stay as a Hoosier, we wanted to stay in Indiana, we wanted to make an impact, and I feel like the training that we're doing now, we're going to make an impact, and just like the prosecutor's office, that is just an extension. That is just a part of working in the community, of seeing the people, talking to them face-to-face, and not going, you know, hundreds of miles away just because, you know, there's a cool school there that has a great football team.
How, if, How has Notre Dame talked to you about training? As far as now, are you and they even talked to you about, okay, we're going to have to wear a mask, or we're not going to wear a mask, or we're going to do whatever? Have they talked to you at all about any of that kind of stuff?
You know, we had our president, Father Jenkins, come out with a detailed report on what it's going to look like when we come back. And basically, there's some ambiguous terms, but we're probably going to be wearing masks if we're having class, and maybe part of it online, maybe. You know, Monday through Friday, we're going to have, or Monday through Wednesday, we're going to have lectures online, or et cetera. We're going to be flexible. As far as the track team, and I was explaining this to someone the other day, you know, I don't have to be practice at the same time as everyone else, right? This isn't a five-man basketball team. This isn't, a defensive line. You know, I'm a pole vaulter, and I have other training partners, but it's mostly accountability partners, making sure that you're doing the most uncomfortable things that, the things that you should be doing. Mm-hmm. And even with law school, how am I going to make this work? Well, nobody can practice 8 hours a day. You know, I get in for 2-3 hours, I get my work in, and I come out, right? And so at that point, I don't have to practice with other people, and that's, there was a lot of practices where I actually practiced by myself late at night. And my coach would come in, we'd talk, we'd have a conversation, and then he would leave, and I would be, practicing, doing a lot of running 6 to 8, p.m. at night. So I don't know. I think we'll be staggered. I think the weight room will look a little different. Mm-hmm. But as far as track and field training, we're going to get the work in, and we're going to be just fine.
Have you ever tried to jump with a mask on?
No, I can hardly talk with a mask on.
Okay.
I don't think that'll work, And if that comes about, then we probably should take the season off if it requires a mask.
And we were kind of talking about this before we came on, the fact that, football, volleyball, and a lot of the sports are really just, I don't see any way they can do this right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even worried about social distancing, because that's another whole thing, especially when you got kids in second grade and lower. Mm-hmm. They always I want to be around everybody. So I have no idea how in the world they're going to do this. So it's going to be real interesting to see what happens.
Right. And, if not, that's okay with me, right? I mean, I'm going to keep, working hard, and we're going to keep getting better. And that's just a part of it. And we've been fortunate enough to have this time. And like my father said, we can either squander it or we can make something out of it. And so I know my head coach talked, and I think this is probably public, but the indoor season looks a little shaky, obviously. Mm-hmm. We don't have confirmation on anything. But outdoor looks more promising. If I get another season, I don't know that I'm going to go back to Notre Dame and get another graduate degree. But you never know. And like I said, we're going to keep working hard regardless, because, we've got a trials date, set for next summer, and we're going to push towards that as well.
That was my next question. I'm assuming, and I think I assume correctly, that the Olympics are still on the docket.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that was something, we had talked about, and we had several conversations, because I haven't stopped jumping since I got to college. I took breaks in high school for maybe a month or two at a time, depending, because we pushed so hard during the season. Now it's more of a lifelong, year round commitment of I might jump, go from twice a week to maybe I'll jump once every 2 weeks, depending on what's going on. But like I said, we've been pushing, and the only reason we've been pushing that hard is obviously for the Olympic trials, and 18-8 is going to, punch the ticket there, to get there. And, the record at Notre Dame, school records, 18-9. And that was something that, as soon as I went there, I wanted to push, and I wanted to get after, and, jump the school record in Notre Dame, and you can go to the Olympic trials. So I think mm-hmm. it's laid out pretty obviously what I need to do, and we're working towards it, and hopefully we'll get there.
Any concern about going overseas to Japan if it happens?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a risk with everything, right? Mm-hmm. We talked about going to Real King after this, and there's a risk involved there, I guess, too. So I don't know. I think maybe I'd risk it for the Olympic team. I think that would be worth it. So,
do you really think that everything that's going on right now with coronavirus, with protests, and with everything else that's out there, are we going to get it settled down enough to where we can halfway get back to a, quote, new normal, unquote?
Well, I think one thing's for certain is that track and field's always brought everyone together. I mean, regardless of the protesting or the coronavirus, track and field is probably one of the only measurable sports alongside swimming, where you can lay anybody down, 100 meters, how fast can you run, how far can you jump, how high can you jump. And so that's what I've always enjoyed, is there was no ambiguity. If you jump 16, 17, 18 feet, I don't have to be there to see it. As long as I see the video and I see the standards where they're at, you jumped it. And so I think, you know, that's something important, I think, for everyone to realize, is that the sports community, although it will look different, at least in the track and field sector, it's going to bring us together and obviously get us more involved as a family. You know, Notre Dame has been a family, obviously, to me, and they've treated us very well, and we've had a lot of conversations about it, a lot of Zoom calls. So, you know, like I said, we're going to get this figured out, and there's a certain set of chaos that we tend to see now that will quickly be resolved if everyone gets back to it, right? Gets back to sports, get back to work, and keeping the you know, what's most important, and that's, you know, family, right? And right. So I think it'll all work out, and we got to get through it together.
Gary, you got similar thoughts to what he's got?
Absolutely. You know, track and field is you know, obviously brings everybody together. When we went to Yale for a college visit, I thought that was so much fun because the guy, the head coach, said, you know, the very first sports competition was between Yale and Harvard. It was rowing. And you know what second was? Track and field. And so as he's talking about that, my mind's going back to some of those conversations that we had, and he's right. You know, I think it'll bring everybody together, get us an opportunity to get back out, I think it's going to be a wonderful opportunity. But I also want to share something as a father. I was a little bit disappointed, but I also was encouraged because I got my family back. And for us, we're a very close family, and Colton's talking about family, and it was an opportunity for us to get the old maid cards out, and he said, Dad, I'm going to teach you how to play chess. And after he explained hey, this piece moves this way, he had to do it about 10 times. I'm like, can we go back to checkers? You know,
he didn't do too well.
I didn't do too well. So, you know, it's been good. And, so it's been fun. I'll be honest with you, when August 10th rolls around, when he has to leave, I'm going to be a little saddened by that.
Yeah, I understand that. So you are going back in August.
Yeah, that's the plan right now.
Okay,
August 10th, and moving everything back, and at least we're going to be there for a couple months. I think about three, and then we're going to have an extended winter break or fall break. Won't have a fall break, but after Thanksgiving we won't go back until the new year. Which is, you know, like I said, that's even better for training wise, because I'm constantly. Like I said, I'm switching back and forth. I've got a Google calendar of everything I have to do in the week, and it's, you know, laid out, you know, probably every 30-minute blocks at least. And so I'm going through it. And so having that, you know, extra break, you know, leading into the indoor season of an extra maybe month or two or three where I'm not doing any schoolwork, or I'm sure I'll be doing something, but very, very minimal, that helps a lot with training as well. So these chunks of time, going into the future, looking at it, you know, what's going to be about going back to school and things like that, I think they're going to be very helpful, and we're going to make it work.
You know, he said very minimal, but 19 and a half hours. No such thing as very minimal there.
No, he's very driven. I'm very proud of him. Yeah. He just an opportunity for him to retool and to go back after it. And it's very aggressive. And, you know, I know he can do this, but it is going to be very, very challenging. He's time blocked. There's not much room for any extracurricular activities,
which is good, possibly.
Well, you know, yeah. And here's the thing. He's always thought a lot about, you know, the family and financially what he can do. And when he's been given this extra opportunity, he said, Dad, I think I can make this happen. And Notre Dame is willing to partner up with us. And I'm so excited about it. I mean, where others are backing off, they're pushing forward and giving him more opportunities and opening doors. I'm very proud of, and I know he can do it.
Okay. Guys, anything else you want to add before I turn you both loose?
No, again, I want to thank everybody, and thank you for having me back on.
No problem.
It's always fun, and I always feel like, you know, I can talk freely. And, you know, back in the hometown, and I just appreciate the community so much, and I just thank everyone for the support. And you know what, we're going to work hard for you, and I hope in the future that, you know, everyone will be proud, and that we'll have something that we can bring home to Frankfurt other than a state championship. So there's more to come in the future, and I'm very thankful and hopeful for that.
All right.
So thank you.
All right, thank you very much, guys. Colton Crum, Gary Crum, thanks
thank
much. Greatly appreciate it, and we'll talk to you guys a little further down the line, all right? All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper, and Tony Theofanis.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited across the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the Good Driver discount.
So it's for good, but not great drivers.
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theopanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We've got a little less than 5 minutes left in the program today. So if you've got any questions or comments, 659-3338, 1-800-447-4463 are the numbers. Greatly thank Colton Crum and his dad, Gary Crum, for being in the studio today with us. A lot of fun talking to Colton and always kind of getting caught up on everything that's going on right now. Before we get out of here, there's a couple things we still need to mention and kind of ponder here a little bit. Even though he's not really in the sports world, Dr. Anthony Fauci did make some news this week that I don't think too many people were surprised to see, but it was kind of interesting to see where he is coming from on this. He says football teams would need to emulate the plans by the NBA and MLS, which is Major League Soccer, for a bubble format or consider not playing in 2020 due to the coronavirus pandemic. Fauci is the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases and a key member of the White House Task Force on the virus. He told CNN that football players would need to be isolated from others and tested regularly unless players are essentially in a bubble and insulated from the community and tested. They are tested every day. It would be very hard for them to play football if they was even able to play at all. He also said that there is a second wave, which is certainly a possibility and has pretty much been predicted by everybody now. It'll be complicated with a predictable flu season. Football may not happen at all. While the NFL could follow its pro basketball and soccer counterparts and consider isolating players to begin the season, it is unclear how college teams could do the same on university campuses. So that is what Dr. Fauci was saying on the bubble for some possible players. And it's going to be interesting to see how that fits. And the other thing he said as well, in an interview with the LA Times earlier this week, Fauci was saying that he warned of the potential dangers of letting Major League Baseball season go too far into the fall. If the question is time, I'd try to keep it in the core summer months and not with the way the World Series is planned until the end of October. When it's cold, I would avoid that. And he would say when to end a potential season, a significant point of contention between Major League Baseball and the players' union. So The league has been consistent in its insistence that the regular season end on September the 27th, citing health concerns as well as a desire of national TV partners not to have games extend into November. So we'll see how all that plays out with the NFL and Major League Baseball, as has been recommended by those to not have any kind of a thing much into the fall this year, if at all possible. Another thing that's going to be of interest was the fact that Kansas refuses to stay out of the limelight, I guess, and its head coach, Bill Self, is the same mold. His attorney sent a notice of claims request this week to preserve evidence in the NCAA informing the governing body of college sports that the Kansas coach is considering legal action as a result of its investigation of his program. In a letter sent to the NCAA Vice President of Legal Affairs and General Counsel Scott Bierby on June 12th, Scott Thompson, who is the Self's attorney, wrote that the purpose of the letter was to, quote, formally put the NCAA on notice of Mr. Self's current and prospective claims against the NCAA relating to the men's infractions investigation of the KU men's basketball team and Mr. Self. Kansas was charged with five level one in violations, with the most serious including lack of institutional control, and of course which is Self is charged as the head coach, which would be responsibility and violations under NCAA rules. The head coach could be suspended up to an entire season for level one violations. Kansas official, along with Self and assistant coach Curtis Townsend, are disputing each of the five level one violations, as well as each of the nine aggravating factors cited by the NCAA in an amended notice of allegations. That's an ANOA. Case has been referred for possible adjudication through the NCAA's independent accountability relation process. An independent resolution panel consisting of five independent members with a legal, higher education, and/or sports backgrounds would hear the case and decide penalties the Jayhawks would face. The IRP's decision is final, and there are no appeals. So that's kind of where that situation sits with Kansas right now, and maybe the head coaching career of Bill Self along with it. So let's just see what happens. Again, thanks to our guests today. We had, as we said earlier, we had the rerun of the Richard Lapchick interview from 2 weeks ago. And plus the fact we had Colton Crum in here, and it was very good to see Colton again and see how things are going. It's going to wrap it up for the show this week. Thanks to our guests and our sponsors, who are State Farm Insurance agents Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. So join us next week for another Inside the Huddle. So until then, take care and have a great week.
This has been Inside the Huddle on WILO, brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, and Tony Theofanis, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Join us next Saturday at 9 a.m. for another edition of Inside the Huddle on WILO.